live in fear as well. But the Bible says that safety is of the Lord. I like that. Thank Him for it. So let's pray tonight. Safe and sound. Dear Father, bless these thoughts now from Your Word. I pray that You'll speak to our hearts and, Lord, help us to trust in You. God, bless this time in Your book. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I don't usually match the choir song to the message. Normally, we pick the choir song out the Sunday night before or the Sunday night of the service, and then we just sing whatever's in the book that they go through a rotation basis. But we didn't have choir practice, so I came this afternoon, looked in the book here at songs that we have not sung recently, and the song Sheltered in the Arms of God was in there. And the message was already prepared. And I thought, what a good song to sing in light of what we're going to talk about tonight in the evening message. The songwriter said, I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. I like that. Sheltered in the arms of God. We live in a violent world. A world of war. No doubt you're familiar with that. War conducted in different ways and by different means. We live in a world of war that's being carried on by conventional means in other places. Like the American troops over there in Iraq and Afghanistan and so forth. Other places where other nations' militaries are involved in war. We live in a world of war that's being conducted by unconventional means. By guerrilla warfare. Suicide bombers. Leaving bombs on subway trains and buses and trains and so forth and so on. Like they did in London for the second time this past week in less than a month. You're familiar with that? Cars parked with explosives, packed with explosives, driving into motel complexes like they did in Egypt the other night. Brother Wendell Runyon said, look, I want you to go to Egypt. I said, yeah. I called him back and say, sure. He said, I want you to go to Egypt, preach at the Bible college over there. I don't think I'm going, but it was in Egypt. And so anyway, you heard about that. Planes flying into buildings like we saw here 4 years ago. Suicide bombers wearing explosive devices. Walking up to a soldier passing out candy to children. And detonating the explosives and 27 kids killed. Can you imagine that? Planes, trains, subways, buses, motels, restaurants. Where can you go to be safe? Do you have to live the rest of your life in fear now? Do I have to live scared, afraid to travel, get on a plane or a bus? A train or go on a subway in some major city? Can I take my family to New York City? Can I take my family to Washington, D.C.? Or some major event, maybe a convention of some sort that I'm interested in, a garden show up here or the automobile show up here or some major event at the McCormick Place in Chicago? Can I do that? Do I have to avoid all that the rest of my life because of these terrorists? Well, Solomon was the wisest king ever to own a kingdom, ever to rule over a kingdom. He was also the richest. And since kings in his day used horses in wars, he multiplied horses unto himself. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 26, the Bible says that he had 40,000 stalls of horses. Can you imagine that? 40,000. A lot of fertilizer. Amen. 40,000 stalls. You talk about work. Rushing all those horses out. Tending to all those horses. 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots. And 12,000 horsemen. He got his chariots out of Egypt. He got his horses out of Egypt. Some of the finest horses in his day. So the wise and rich King Solomon was prepared for battle. He was ready with everything and in every way that he should be ready. He was prepared. But he made the statement, safety is of the Lord. I like that. I'm glad for this verse. I'm glad that in a world of war, I'm glad that in a world of crazy and bloody and vicious people, I can rest in this truth that safety is of the Lord. I don't know what you think. I don't believe it's going away. I don't believe it's going to end. I don't think it's going anywhere. The Bible says that when Jesus returns to this earth, the conditions will be much like they were in Noah's day. And in Noah's day, the Bible says that violence filled the earth. I preached on that subject back on September the 9th, 2001. I preached on the last days. That was right in this auditorium. We'd only been in here for July, August, 3 months. Preached on the last days and how violence was filling the land. And Tim Donahoe sat in the service that night, a lost man, unsaved. 2 days later, they flew those planes into those buildings. Because Melanie knew Tim was under conviction and thinking heavily, we were able to go by there. Tim got saved that night. He's been faithful in church ever since. It's a blessing. Blessing. I remember the testimony he gave some months later. He said, I got saved on September the 11th of 2001. He said, I didn't get saved because the planes hit the buildings. I got saved because I had a church and a wife that cared for me. Pray for me. That's a blessing. Amen. That's a real blessing. The Bible says violence will fill the land. Now, I don't believe we've seen the last of it in America. I believe we're being lulled to sleep because it's been almost 4 years since we last felt the effects of extreme violence. I don't believe it's going away. If you look over here, hold your finger here in Proverbs. Let me show you a verse in Genesis 16, okay? You hear all these news stories, and maybe if you catch a few minutes of the evening news or you pull out like I do the paper and read the headlines, and if something catches your eye, take a few minutes to read the front page stories. And you see all this, and you see these Arabs, these terrorists, just indiscriminate in their killing. Indiscriminate. I mean, you know, how in the world can they bring that kind of carnage on their own people and children? And you look at Genesis chapter 16, folks, in verse number 12. The Lord is speaking about Ishmael, the father of the Arab people. And God said, and he will be a wild man. Buddy, is that not true? He will be a wild. That's what every time I read that in the newspaper, every time I see a news flash on television, if I'm in a hotel room or something, I'm reminded of that verse right now. When I hear all the yelling and the screaming and the loudness and see all the people screaming and hollering, I'm reminded of that verse right there. He will be a wild man. God said that. Look what he said. He said, his hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. After 9/11, it was Spain. Madrid. How many died in that? You see, we soon forget. And now July the 7th, I think it was. July 7th, Esther, is that right? I believe that's right. July the 7th, 4 different bombs in London. And not too far from Esther's church, where she went to church over there at Dave's Soul. And now again, thank God nobody was hurt or killed. Where's the next time? This blast over in Egypt the other night. It's amazing to me to see these folks wage cruel guerrilla warfare on their own people. I read some of those accounts and I just shake my head. And that verse comes to mind right there. That's just wild. It's wild. God said that's what how it would be. And it's going to continue to be that way. Here's a bus full of people and riding to work. Riding to town. Going across the town to see relatives. Boom! Now they're dead. They're dismembered. Here's a subway train full of people. Women, children, young people. Doesn't matter. Hotels, motels full of sleeping people. Boom! He will be a wild man. God said that. Now it's not going away. But thank the Lord that God is our encompassing wall of safety for His children. I appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with preparing the horse. Nothing wrong with that. I think for the most part, the people in this church would be pro-military. I think that's how you ought to be if you're an American who believes in what we have here and defending it and keeping it, preserving it for future generations. And I don't vote for people who are not pro-military. Strong military presence is one of the best defenses we have. It's not wrong to prepare the horse. Solomon's horses were prepared. He bought the best horses that money could buy in that day. I like the idea of a man being prepared to protect his family. I think you ought to own a gun. And if you don't, I think you better go buy one before you can't. And if you can buy more than one, do it. You can buy an arsenal. Get you a safe somewhere and a vaulted room if you have to, and put the weapons down there. Own a gun. Learn how to shoot it. Learn how to load it. Learn how to fire it. Learn how to kill. You have to. Teach your wife how to shoot. Teach your children how to shoot. My wife doesn't enjoy that, but occasionally she has to shoot. Everybody hides. Amen. And Brother Vineyard, he's excited about this. He stays excited about this. We was down there at youth conference a few weeks ago. I don't know, 300 or 400 teenagers. I don't know how many was there. And he said, we're going to the camp Tuesday night. We're going to let the girls shoot. I looked at Brother Murphy and said, I'm going to hide. Amen. I was down there one time with a missionary and a bunch of fellow preachers for a Revival Fires conference. He took us out to the camp in the afternoon. Brother Vineyard has some awesome weapons. He's got an automatic Uzi. That's what the IDF uses over in Israel, Israeli Defense people. Automatic Uzi. Just pull the trigger. And he loves to do that. He'd just stand out there and empty the whole clip. This missionary's boy had this M14, this Mini-14, and semi-automatic Mini-14, and he was firing away, and we were standing behind him. Boy, I really like this. Now he puts those weapons in the hands of those teenage girls. I'm hiding, friend, I'll tell you. There's all these automatic weapons. They were firing away. He had boxes of ammunition. Boxes. Brother Vineyard doesn't buy, you get a little Germex bottle. He buys jugs. He doesn't buy a package of certs. He buys cases of certs. He doesn't buy a box of ammunition. He buys cases of ammunition. I mean, just piles of it. They just empty clip after. He's got those college boys, and all they do is spend the whole afternoon reloading those clips. Those guns just fire. Now, I don't think you need to go to that extreme. Unless you want to. And you live in a country where you can. Except for the eggheads that are trying to take that away from us. And you ought to teach your family how to defend themselves. Nothing wrong with being prepared for having the horses prepared. Protect your house with alarm systems and use common sense in public places. Some of you folks fly. I fly from time to time. I try not to, but occasionally I fly. And when I fly, if I'm getting that in that waiting area, I'm looking at all those people who are waiting on that plane. I go sit down. I'm watching all the people who are getting on that plane, watching what they're carrying. Eyeballing them. So what are you doing? I'm profiling. I'm guilty. I'm profiling. Huh? I never forget in January of 2002, 9/11 was 4 months old. I was flying to New Zealand and Australia. Remember that missionary trip? Got to the United plane to go to Los Angeles, up the United gate to go to Los Angeles up there. There was one or two seats in the whole gate area. I sat down, and I can't remember if I came first or he came first, but I ended up sitting by a tunic-wearing, turban-wearing, Quran-reading Arab, written in the Arab language, the Quran, Muslim. We lined up in the way there to give the lady the boarding pass to get on the plane. They took me out of line to search me and let that guy walk on that plane. Not ever touching me. Huh? Ridiculous. The horse should be prepared. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with using common sense. But aren't you thankful, part of God's great care for us involves keeping us safe. I am glad that the horse can be prepared. I am for it. But I am far better at peace because safety is of the Lord. And all you kids, I don't know how much you look at the newspaper or watch a news program, whatever you do, or what you hear, but if from time to time things come to your ears that cause you fear and you're scared. What time I am afraid, the psalmist said in chapter 63, I will trust in thee. Fear is a real thing to children. It's a real thing to children. I was trying to remember this afternoon which kid it was. And I was going to ask Joyce, and I forgot to ask which child it was that would wake up in the night crying. And did that week after week after week after week after week after week. And we took the cassette player. Got the Bible on cassette. Went in the room after the child had fallen to sleep and just put that Bible on cassette playing at a very low volume. Let the Bible just be read while that child was sleeping in the night. You know, it wasn't very long. That child wasn't waking up. You say what you want to say, but I praise God that He is our safety. He is our safety. Look at Psalm chapter 20, verse number 9 tonight. Look at Psalm chapter 20, verse number 9. You say, why are you preaching this message? Because I carry the people of Faith Baptist Church on my heart, and that includes all the elementary boys and girls in this room. I love them as much as I love any tithing man in this church. They're all important. I don't want you to be afraid, kiddos. Look at Psalm chapter 20, verse number 7. The Bible says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. You see, God can save without armies, but armies cannot save without God. That's the truth. The important thing is to make God our friend and secure His favor. That's the important thing. It's important to protect your house. Arm yourself. Learn how to shoot a gun. Learn how to protect your family. Teach your children to do that when they come of age. But friend, don't stop there. The most important thing after that, beyond that, is to secure the favor of God Almighty. Because He is a protection. He has a protection available that no gun can provide. No army can provide. It's an amazing thing here. In this verse, an interesting thing in this verse, that the psalmist, look at it, he sees more protection in the name of the Lord God than he does in chariots and horses. He said, some people trust in chariots, some in horses, but I will remember the name of the Lord. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, there is power in the name of Jesus Christ. Power in the name of Jehovah. Man, I've read stories about the Jews, when they would copy the Old Testament scriptures and they would come to the name Jehovah, they would put their quill down and they would wash their hands. Make sure that they were clean. And then they would write the name Jehovah, put their quill down, go back and wash their hands again and come back. And every time they came to the name Jehovah, they would stop. They reverenced His name so. Well, I guess so. The power of His name kept that people safe year after year after year after year after year. David said, Goliath, I don't come to you with a sword and a spear. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And before you know it, that big giant was laying on his face. The psalmist said, I have more confidence in the name of God than I do in horses and in chariots. Think about it. An army of horses and chariots roaring across the way. The dust is flying and the noise of pounding hooves and those turning chariot wheels. And if you read a little history, they said it was not uncommon for the chariots to have like a scythe. A sharp blade extended from the wheel. They'd roar into battle, and that blade sharpened like that would come and just cut people to shreds. You think about that. Those turning chariot wheels and the crack of the whip and the yell of the horseman. Ha! You know, that's all impressive. And it looks good to the human eye. Big army of chariots. But the eye of faith sees more safety and more protection in the person of God than he sees in an army of horses and chariots. That's true. I'm glad for my guns. I'm glad for my freedom to own a gun. I'll promise you, friend, when I'm 800 miles away and lay my head on a pillow at night in a distant motel room and think about my wife and children out there, we're not out in the boonies. Only 4.5 miles from town, but it's a rural road. Years ago, during the winter months, I think it was December 31st. In the middle of the night, there was a pounding on the door. All the lights were off. I went to the window and I raised the window in our bedroom, which is upstairs. I looked down and I said, "Who is it?" "This guy down there." "Oh, ragamuffin looking guy, wild looking guy." I said, "Where's Bonfield?" I said, "Go down the road and make a right." "Okay." And he took off. I closed the window. Later on, we found out that he'd broken into somebody's house. He was trying to find somebody that wasn't home. We'll give her a house to get into. I lay my head on a pillow somewhere 800 miles away from home. I think about my wife. She's a good lady. She's not a strong lady. I still had little children, still got a couple little children around, some teenagers. You ever think about that? I'm glad for the guns. I'm glad for the secure locks on the doors. I'm glad for all that. I'm glad we have 911. I'm glad somebody can pick up the phone. But when I lay my head on the pillow to go to sleep at night, I'm not thinking about 911. I'm not thinking about a 12-gauge shotgun or a 9mm pistol or a 308. I'm not thinking about any of those things. I'm thinking about the fact that God walks sentry around my family. I praise God for that. God walks sentry around my family. God walks sentry around you children, you teenagers, and you ladies who sometimes experience this thing of fear. The eye of faith sees more in the name and the person of God than in any army of chariots and horses, any bow and arrow, any gun. Any tank. There's more in Him and His name. So don't live in fear, friend. You have a keeping God. I started to look that up and I forgot. Just reminded myself. I started looking up how many times in the Bible the Bible refers to God as a keeping God. Psalm 127, verse number 1. Look at it. Turn over there. You're in the book of Psalms. Look at 127. Just flip over there real quick. Psalm 127. This is the essence of my message tonight. I don't have point 1, point 3, point 4, 15 illustrations in a poem. I just have a truth. God walks sentry around His people. It's been in my heart the last few days. It's been on my heart, and I've rejoiced in it. And I thought I'd just rejoice with you. Amen. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We use that phrase a lot. You see that phrase embroidered on little pieces of cloth and put up on the wall. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But look at the remainder of the verse. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Hey, friend, the watchman is okay, but if God refuses to watch over us, we're not safe because we have a watchman. Huh? They may do their duty. They may be diligent. And still we could be in danger. But if the Lord keeps the watch, all is safe and sound. I don't want to be a pessimist. I don't live looking over my shoulder. But have you ever pondered this? Have you ever pondered what would happen in this nation if all the welfare checks were cut off? Honored if the banks closed. Oh, we'd all just band together and be one big happy country helping each other. I don't think so. I think there'd be anarchy. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. You may have a good relationship with your weapon. Sir, how's your relationship with the Lord? I'm not against your relationship with your weapon. I'm not against your relationship with your martial arts, your defense. I'm not against that. But how's your relationship with the Lord? He's the one that walks sentinel. He's the one that walks guard. It's a little quiet right now. Are y'all okay with this? I mean, That is a legitimate question, isn't it? Sure it is. If the Lord keeps the watch, all is safe and sound. You know one good thing about the Lord keeping the watch? Psalm 121 says, He never slumbers nor sleeps. Boy, you think about those old guys on guard detail at night, you know, their night to pull security. Nodding off 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. Not the Lord, friend. He doesn't need a nap. He doesn't need a rest. He doesn't need a power nap. Get some energy. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He keeps. Sometimes things happen. I don't know if your house has ever been. Anybody ever had the house broken into? There's a few. Yeah, well, there's more than one or two here. I know the girls did. Back during the school year, Brother Don called me. That was during convention. What was that during? Revival Fires Conference. Yeah, Revival Fires Conference. He called me about 11:30 at night. Preacher, just think you ought to know the girls' house was broken into. Looks like some kids. Church got broken into some years ago. I thought about those ladies down there, Sarah, Andrea. It can be scary. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes God allows things to happen. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. During the day, God watches over us. During the night, God is our keeper. When does God get tired? So when I go to sleep, I can rest well because God is my keeper. A man by the name of Hugo said, when you have accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God is awake. I like that. That storm was pretty wicked the other night, wasn't it? You ever been at home, midnight, 1 o'clock, kids, when a storm like that hits? How many of you, how many of us adults ever remember that little bit of panic and fear that set in the middle of the night when a storm came? And they always came up with these insane answers. God is bowling in heaven. Like a child. Oh, okay. Brother. Did parents ever tell you that? Probably some stuff weirder than that, huh? Look over at 1 Kings chapter 6, verse number 13. Look over there, 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse number 13. Safety is of the Lord. Now here's one of the greatest passages. I'm sorry, that's 2 Kings. I had you in 1 Kings. It's the wrong book here. 2 Kings chapter 6. Here's one of the greatest passages. If your children ever get nervous. The kids are different. Some kids are very confident. Other kids are less. Some kids aren't afraid of anything. Some kids are fearful. If you ever want to help your children with fear, take them over here to this passage in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse number 13. The king of Syria is itching to capture Elisha. He said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots." There's those horses and chariots again. "And a great host." That's a lot of people. "They came by night, compassed the city about." So they surrounded the city. Horses, chariots, and all these foot soldiers. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed or surrounded the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' He had his eyes on the number of their horses and chariots, and he had his eyes on his and Elisha's lack of horses and chariots. And it scared him. And it probably would any man in this room. You just say, 'I'm going to die.'" You look down at verse number 16, "And he," this is Elisha, "answered, 'Fear not.'" Now put yourself in the servant's shoes. "For they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I bet the servant said. I bet he leaned his hand over and put it on Elisha's forehead and said, "Are you sick? Do you have a fever?" He couldn't see what Elisha saw. So Elisha prayed a simple prayer, verse 17, said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." His eyes could not behold the supernatural. And somehow, some wonderful way, God had allowed Elisha, either allowed him to actually see the supernatural, or by faith, Elisha knew it was there. He said, "God, let him see." "Boy, and the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." What peace that brought to his heart. Between him and his friend Elisha, his mentor Elisha, and all those enemy horses and chariots, they were surrounded by those horses and chariots. Between them and all those horses and chariots was that wall of protective soldiers. Whole host surrounding them. I wish I could remember the name of the missionary. I looked at my books this afternoon to try to find it, scrambling to try to find the name of the missionary. I could not locate it. But he ministered amongst a dangerous heathen people, groundbreaking into the area with the gospel of Christ. And a few people in the village were getting saved, but the village leadership was dead set against him. The witch doctors and everything. They planned on killing the missionary and his family one night. They beat those drums and danced their wicked, filthy, vile, satanic voodoo dances and worked themselves up into a frenzy, and they finally made their way down the little path to the hut where the missionary lived, with their spears and their knives, intending to kill them all. They stopped several yards distance away from that little hut. Inside that little hut, the missionary and his wife were on their knees just praying, "God, protect us." Hours passed, all through the night, and those heathen people with their spears and knives never came one step closer. When the dawn came, they just melted off. The missionary's wife didn't know what to think. Years later, God brought salvation to almost everybody in that village. great ministry there, and the missionary would, some of the leadership got saved, some of the witch doctors got saved, the leadership in the village, and they made, the missionary asked after one of those leaders got saved, witch doctors or something got saved, he said to him, he said, do you remember years ago? You were part of a group of natives that came with knives and spears intending to kill my wife and I. And y'all came down the path to our hut and you stopped and you stayed at that distance the rest of the night and you melted away in the morning when the dawn broke. He said, why in the world didn't you kill us? That native said, well, because your hut was surrounded all night long by men in white gowns with glistening swords. He said, we couldn't get through them. That's an actual happening. Years and years ago. Somewhere there's a letter from Mark 6:10, more recent. Or just a few years ago in Nigeria, some people got against Brother Mark and his wife Linda and their boys and planned to kill them. And they came with the intention of killing Mark 6:10 and his wife Linda. They didn't advance to the house. Some months later, Mark Sigstad asked one of those people, why didn't you come kill us? He said, we couldn't get through that band of men in white gowns with those swords standing around your house. You see, friend, our problem is we don't believe that's real. We've watched too much, I don't watch too much Hollywood movies with all this E.T. stuff and extraterrestrial stuff that you know is fake and is desensitized us to the reality of the spirit world. But you have a loving God in heaven who has a host of angels at His command, and they are ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. That's me and you, friend. And thank God for guns and weapons and knives and door locks and security systems and little alarms that go off and motion lights and all those things. But who knows? Only when we get to heaven will we ever know the knights that around our house. There stood a host. I got goosebumps just thinking about it. Of angels with swords saying, keep away. Keep away. What a God. I would suggest again as I close that it's far more important that you and I secure His favor than anything else we can do. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. There's a verse. I'll miss it. It's in Isaiah 31 somewhere. God told His people Israel, He said, woe unto you. Listen up, I'm done. You know why He said, woe unto you? He said, because you go down into Egypt and you secure horses, chariots, and you forget me. I don't think it's wrong to prepare the horse. Egypt's always been a type of the world. And if your confidence, if your fears can only be relieved by your weapons, your door locks, and your motion lights, you're missing the greatest blessing in life. And that's knowing that there's a God in heaven who walks sentry around your house, your children. Huh? Your children never play outside? You know how long it takes for a car to pull up? I'm glad the safety is of the Lord. Sheltered in His arms. Let's pray tonight. Dear Father, use this message, unusual, but on my mind and on my heart these last days. I pray that You'll bless our people to know and feel that security that comes from gaining Your favor. Lord, there are times when You drop the hedge of protection for a while to wake us up, to snap us into reality. I pray that we would not only trust in our weapons and our secure houses, our motion lights and door locks. I pray, dear God, more than anything else, we'd secure your favor. Because I have no fear when Jesus walks beside me. Thank you that safety is of the Lord. Thank you for this grace you provide, dear God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.